thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I'm excited tonight, and although I wasn't here last week, I heard that I was set up with a little bit of pressure. You're teaching, said Pastor Roger, about me. You're teaching on the power gifts, so you got a lot of pressure on you. Faith, healing, and miracles. I have no pressure on me. I have zero pressure on me. The pressure is on the Word of God, not me. It is not me. It's not what I can do or what I can manufacture. It is on the Word and the will of God in the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus. That is what distinguishes and differentiates between the authentic of God and the manufactured of the enemy, in the name of Jesus. So everything that we talk about when it comes to the Word of God and the will of God and the gifts of God, it is by and for and through and in the name of Jesus and no other way. And so we are going to talk about the power gifts tonight. I am not sure how we're going to end this service tonight. I said that to the worship team in the back. I said, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to end the service. And that's okay with me because we'll just see how God wants to end the service. How's that sound? But here's what I know I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to help us to rightly divide the Word. We're going to read a lot of Scripture tonight. We're going to look at a lot of things in the Word. And that's what we need to do. But I want to pray that our hearts would be open and that where you're at and what you're going through right now and what you need to hear from the Lord tonight, you will hear from the Lord tonight. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we bow before your Word tonight, knowing, God, that, Lord, the Word that we have in front of us tonight is what you intended for us to have today. It's what you intended 2,000 years ago. It's what you intend today. And should you tarry, it's what you'll intend 2,000 years from now. So in it, Lord, is everything we need for life and godliness. So as we open your Word tonight, help us to discover truths about you, maybe things that we've never known, maybe things that we've known but we've rejected, maybe things that we've known but we've been afraid of. And Lord, work in our hearts tonight. Let us be open and receptive to what you want to do in and through your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I should tell you this just to tell you, and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen tonight because I'm pretty sure it won't happen. But last weekend, I was in California. I was at William Carey University. They had asked me to come out there and speak for a week on the character of God. So I went, and I was speaking to Koreans, and primarily business people. Some had flown in from Korea, but it was mostly business people. And so we had two lectures a day, but each lecture was 2.5 hours long. So we had one in the morning from 10 to 12:30, and then we had one in the evening from 7:30 to 10, which doesn't usually fit my body clock. 7:30 to 10 doesn't usually work for me. And the amazing thing to me was that when we started, when I got there, and everything I did was through a translator. I was the only Westerner, and the only one that really spoke English. But I had a fantastic translator. And the man that was leading the conference said to me, you have 2.5 hours twice a day. Don't give people a break. And I thought, that's the strangest thing. What do you mean don't give them a break? You mean you want me to have them sit for 2.5 hours and just listen to the Word and they're going to be okay with that? They're not going to get up and they're not going to move? I was there for the whole week, Monday through Friday. Nobody moved. It was the most amazing thing. I thought, how do people sit for 2.5 hours without moving? It was fascinating to me. So if we go 5 minutes longer tonight, you're going to be okay. Say, I'm going to be okay. Because we are not going to go 2.5 hours, but if we go 5 minutes longer, we will be okay. I asked the question when I was there in California last week, why are you here? Why are you at William Carey University, and why are you here, and why are you doing a conference on the character of God? And the answer was two responses. The first one was, we feel we owe a debt to the Americans, to Western Christians. We feel we owe a debt. Because of them bringing the gospel to us, we feel we owe them a debt. And so we have come to the United States of America. This is what the Koreans were telling me. We have come to the United States of America as missionaries to the United States. So they have come to our country to be missionaries. They are compelled by God to come to the United States of America, the greatest mission-sending country in the world. They have come here to minister to us. And I thought, wow, on one hand, that blessed me because I thought, thank you, Lord, that you're sending missionaries to the United States. But on the other hand, I thought, ooh, we've been the missionary senders, Lord. We got to get back in tune with your word, and we got to get back to the basics. And the basics are the word of God. The basics are the gift of God's Spirit. And we got to get back to these basics. The other reason that they've come and the other reason that they've set up where they are is because they're just outside of Pasadena, right near Altadena, and they are 8 miles away from where the Azusa Street Revival hit in 1906 and 1907. They are 8 miles away. Where the Azusa Street Revival happened in 1906 and 1907 is now what they call Skid Row. And it's homeless people, and it's completely different than it was 110 years ago. And their desire is to see an outpouring of God's Spirit once again. To see an outpouring of God's Spirit, a manifestation of the Spirit of God and His gifts in such a way, signs, wonders, miracles, the things that God wants to do, the things that He tells us in His Word that He wants to do, God wants to see that, and He wants to see it again, and they're there committed to it. So I was fortunate to be there last week. And I'm excited tonight. I'm excited to share God's word with you tonight. And like I said, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. The first one I'm going to read, you don't have on your outline, and your outline looks a little different than it normally does when I'm teaching. But the first one I want to read to you is in Romans chapter 10. And I want you to just write it down somewhere, jot it down. We're going to read a lot of scripture. But here's what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So according to Paul in the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing the word and hearing the word of Christ. So in other words, our faith is built and our faith is developed as we hear the word. So the more of the word we hear, the more our faith will be built. I was telling a friend of mine as we were walking in tonight, I pulled up to a stoplight and I saw the driver and the passenger texting in the car. I'm sitting at the light and I'm looking over and here's the driver and the passenger and they're texting. And I thought we are so distracted. There are so many things that have us distracted in this day and hour. If we spent a portion of the time that we do doing other things in God's word, faith comes from hearing and hearing God's word. If we spent just a portion of the time that we're doing other things in God's word, our faith level would so increase to believe the things that God's word says. And what I want us to do tonight is I want us to look at three specific manifestation gifts. We're going to look at faith, we're going to look at healing, and we're going to look at miracles. And we're going to look at what the Bible says. But here's where we got to start. We got to start with this reality. There is nothing missing from God's side. Would you agree with that? If God said it, I believe it. If it's in God's word and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God never changes, and God empowered and equipped believers for New Testament living, if that is all true and things are not functioning or flowing right, then we need to examine our own lives. Would you agree with that? We need to examine our lives because the word is correct. And Jesus said, and we've talked about it many times, Jesus said, greater things will you do than I have done. Jesus said, I have to go to my Father. I have to go to my Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit to be with you. So, here's what we must do then as we dive into God's Word. Because there is only so much time in a day, we have got to eliminate the competition. If we want to be moving in the gifts of God's Spirit, if we want to be flowing in the things that God wants us to flow in, we've got to eliminate the competition. There is so much competition out there. Sitting in a stoplight and people are texting. They're talking and they're texting and they're texting and they're talking. And you know what I'm talking about. This media surge that has hit us in a lot of ways brings a lot of distractions. And so part of what we have to do is we have to, as we look at God's Word, we have to say, okay, what competition do I need to eliminate? Because certainly God has not changed, and God wants to continue to move and work the same way he did in the beginning. When you read the book of Acts after Jesus left, and you see how the disciples and the apostles moved in the gifts of the Spirit with signs, wonders, and miracles, and all of the things that God did, and God said he expects that today, we should expect that today. Would you agree with that? If God said we should expect it, then we should expect it today. So here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's been our base text for the last 3 weeks. And it says this: Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given the Spirit, by the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives as he determines, just as he determines. So the Holy Spirit, as he determines, equips and empowers New Testament believers. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. New Testament believers to allow the manifestation gifts to flow through our lives. Listen, the vehicle that God has chosen today to operate and to show his signs, wonders, and miracles are his people. He could have done it many different ways. He could have done it through angels. He could have done it through supernatural intervention, but he has chosen the vehicle of his people. And so he's chosen today to work in and through his people. And so let me just liken the manifestation gifts, and let me just use a simple analogy, and then we're going to just dive into this. You know, when you learn to ride a bike as a child, you learn to ride a bike, and you always remember how to ride the bike. And whenever you want to ride the bike or you need to ride the bike, you can ride the bike because you learned how to ride the bike as a child. We should learn, as believers in Jesus Christ, we should learn about the gifts of God's Spirit. We should learn about them. We should understand them. We should discover them. So when it's time for those gifts to manifest through our lives, they will manifest in a natural way. Just like you haven't ridden a bike in 10 years, you pick the bike up and you get on the bike and you go, it should be the same operation in our lives with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. When we learn to discover the truths about God's Word, then those gifts can flow through us naturally, and it's not a difficult thing. Now, because we have so much scripture on our outline tonight, we've referenced one, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, but I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you, and it's going to come up on the screen, but let me set the stage for us here first of all. This is the very beginning of the book of Acts, and it's right after Jesus had said to the disciples, wait in the upper room for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to come in fire and in power, and he's going to equip you to do what I've called you to do. So all that has happened. The Holy Spirit has come. They've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now right after that we get to Acts chapter 3, and here's what it says. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a crippled man from birth. So this man is crippled from birth. He's over 40 years old, and he was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple court. So I want you to imagine this picture. Family picks him up, brings him there, and he begs every single day because he's crippled. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So he's drawing this attention. Look at us. Peter looked straight at him. Look at us. So the man gave him their attention, expecting to get something. Then Peter said this, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. Now notice, this is not something Peter had to go get. This is something that Peter and John had. That's what they said. I don't have silver and gold, but what I have I'm going to give to you. And they preface everything by starting this way, in the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to imagine what this must have looked like. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. This is a man that's been crippled since birth. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, praising, walking, and jumping, and giving thanks to God. So here we have the book of Acts, and what do we see? We see this beautiful meshing together, or this dovetailing of all three gifts that we're going to talk about tonight. Faith. Peter and John had faith. They said, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have, we're going to give. That is the gift of faith. I'm going to describe it a little more in just a minute. But that's the gift of faith. And then they said, in the name of Jesus, get up. Get up. What is that? That is a healing and that is a miracle. So in this book of Acts, in the very beginning of the book of Acts, we see all three of these things and this marvelous overlap. Why would God fill the book of Acts with all of these amazing things if he didn't want us to understand them? And not only understand them, be equipped to walk in them. Would you believe that? God wants us equipped to walk in the gifts. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One of the best things that we can do is read about what God said should and could be happening in and through the lives of the believers. So, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the gifts of power. Just go ahead and write that in on your outline. The gifts of power. These are gifts that do things. So what we're talking about tonight, and I apologize, my throat is dry tonight. I've been teaching for the last 3 weeks, and so I've been doing a lot of talking. I'm in the mountains this week with young people at a snowboarders DTS up in Eagle Rock, and so I've been talking for about 3.5 hours already today. So bear with me here. So the gifts of power, these are gifts that do things. So when we're talking about the manifestation gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts through us, they're gifts that do things. Faith is a gift that does something. Healing is a gift that does something. Miracles are a gift that does something. Last week, Pastor Roger talked about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Tonight we're talking about gifts that do something. The gift of faith. First, let me give you a definition of that. The gift of faith is this. It is a supernatural provision by the Spirit where that which is spoken or desired by man or spoken by God will eventually come to pass. It could happen at the moment you speak it. In this case, in the book of Acts, when Peter and John said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give," instantaneously that faith was extended and something happened. So the gift of faith is that supernatural provision of God by the Spirit where that which is spoken or desired by man or God will eventually come to pass. It is the ability to envision what needs to be done and to trust God to accomplish it, even though it seems impossible to most people. The manifestation of miracles is the result of a miracle. Faith trusts for miracles. So the gift of faith is this gift that is a supernatural provision from God that allows us to believe for things that God wants to do and God is going to do. I would say of these three, if I'm just looking at and evaluating my own life, I've experienced all three of these in my life. I've experienced the gift of faith, I've experienced the gift of healings, and I've experienced the gift of miracles in my life. But I would say probably this one more than any of these three. The gift of faith. So it could look something like this. God is moving in your life and God is speaking through your life and all of a sudden something begins to well up on the inside of you and you just feel this unction from the Spirit of God. See, this is why we have to become familiar with what I'm talking about. You feel this unction from the Spirit of God and it's this faith welling up in you and it's this supernatural provision by the Spirit of God so that what is spoken by you is going to come to pass. That is the gift of faith. God wants that operating and working in our life. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, there are at least three kinds of faith that I can think of. There is what I would call saving faith. There is that faith element or that faith component that is strictly governed and directed by God. And it's that saving faith when the Spirit of God whispers in your ear at that moment when you recognize your need for God. That's saving faith. That is apart from being in relationship with God, and that's that faith that comes when you all of a sudden realize that there is a God, there is a Savior, His name is Jesus, and by faith I believe for that. There's that saving faith. Then there's what we might call natural faith, and that's the faith that can believe things that are facts. We weren't there when the Constitution was written, but there's facts and there's documentation. We believe it because there's factual substantiation for it. The farmer puts his seed in the ground because his father did it and his grandfather did it and his great-grandfather did it, and they have this natural faith to believe that when you put a seed in the ground, the seed is going to grow and it's going to produce something. So there's a natural faith. There's also the fruit of faith, faithfulness. So there's faithfulness. We know it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that grows and develops in our life, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So there's this fruit of faithfulness. When you walk faithfully with the Lord, you begin to produce this fruit of faithfulness. But there's also this supernatural gift of faith, which we see in operation in Acts chapter 3 and in many other places. I'm not going to take the time to read all of these verses, but here's what I did on your outline. And there are bullet points on your outline. Right after the definition of the gift of faith, there's several places where I just gave you scriptural references for what that gift of faith looked like in operation. For example, the gift was used for personal protection during danger. When Daniel was in the lion's den, when he was thrown in the lion's den and the lions were going to eat him, they were hungry and they were going to eat him. He sat down in the den of the lions. I don't know what it looked like. I'll watch it someday in heaven. But the gift of faith allowed him to rest in God. It allowed him to trust God. So there's several things in operation in the scriptures that teach us how the gift of faith was described. It was used for personal protection. I just said that. It was used for supernatural provision in famine or fasting. Remember when Elijah was led to the brook and God said, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to feed you with a bird. You just go by the brook and you hang out by the brook and I'm going to send a bird to feed you. How many of you would have a hard time believing that? Pantry's empty, no groceries in the house, you got no money, and God says, I love you so much, I'm going to take care of you, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to send a bird, and the bird's going to bring you food. The gift of faith is what allows Elijah to believe God. The gift of faith is what wells up on the inside of us that allows us to believe God for things that we're not seeing yet or things that God wants to do in the future. So you're not just weird when you start thinking those things or you start feeling those things. It's the Spirit of God welling up on the inside of you that dares you to believe things that are beyond what you can comprehend in the natural. Also for receiving the promises from God, and I'm just going to mention these. I'm not going to go into them in detail. For supernatural victory during battle, the gift of faith, operation of the gift of faith. John chapter 11. The gift of faith to raise the dead. Jesus said, listen, Lazarus is not dead. Lazarus is sleeping. No, Lazarus is dead. The gift of faith, the gift of faith to raise the dead. Acts chapter 19, the gift of faith for casting out of evil spirits. Notice what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. And these are the words of Jesus. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Now, that word doubt is very important. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Have faith in God. Jesus starts this statement by saying, have faith in God. If you've got a mountain in your life and that mountain needs to be gone, speak to the mountain. Speak to the obstacle. Speak to the thing in your life that is hindering you from seeing or going where God wants you to go. And then according to the words of Jesus, if you believe and do not doubt in your heart, and you speak to that mountain, that's a gift of faith. The gift of faith wells up on the inside of you, and you speak to the mountains that seem immovable. You speak to the obstacles. You speak to the things, and you say, no, in Jesus' name, and it's all prefaced by in Jesus' name. No, in Jesus' name, this thing will no longer be an obstacle in my life. And according to the words of Jesus, if I believe it and I don't doubt in my heart, it will happen. That's the gift of faith. God needs that working and operating in the world today. Would you agree with that? Would you agree that there's a lot of spiritual mountains in front of people today? There are so many obstacles in front of people. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. God just doesn't care. It'll never happen. And whatever it is, the gift of faith, the manifestation of the Spirit, when it wells up in you, and you pray for somebody and you believe for something that's going to be supernatural and God wants to do, God will do it. And what do we have to do? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Doubt is a thief. According to the book of James, if you lack wisdom, ask God and He'll give it to you. But if you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea tossed and blown about. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So Jesus says, pray in faith that the mountain be moved, and it will be moved. But then Jesus says, don't doubt. Because if you doubt, you're double-minded and unstable. So when the gift of faith wells up on the inside of you, you have to believe God. Look at what Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 31 say on your outline. And again, I want us to be reading Scripture. I don't want to just be giving you my opinion. I want to show you what the Word says about faith. Right now we're talking about faith. A woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him, that's Jesus, and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I can touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned to her and said, take heart, daughter, he said, your faith, say your faith, say my faith, your faith has healed you. Your faith, I would underline that in the Bible. Now, Jesus is not a liar. Jesus is not a man that he should lie. Jesus said, your faith, he's talking to the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, your faith has healed you. The gift of faith had welled up on the inside of her to believe, if I could just touch Jesus, if you can just touch Jesus, God will respond. That is the gift of faith. We need it today. We need it in operation. Why are those people in Pasadena believing God for something that happened 106 years ago? Because they believe in faith that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he wants to move in people's lives. So Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and he saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and he took the girl by the hand. Another scenario. Took the girl by the hand and she got up. News of this spread throughout the region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? So Jesus is challenging them with a question. These are blind men. They want to be healed. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly to see that no one knows about this. But they went out and they spread the good news about him all over the region. So here's three examples of Jesus speaking very clearly. Have faith in God. Speak to the mountain. When that manifestation of the gift of faith wells up in you, you speak to the mountain and it will move, according to the words of Jesus. According to this woman's faith, she was healed. According to these blind men's faith, they were healed. I said just a minute ago that I appreciated Brandon sharing the testimony, because the power of transparency and the power of testimony and the power of what God can do is something that should resonate in our spirits. Last week, Pastor Roger talked about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. And I heard, although I wasn't here, I heard that God did many things in people's lives as they stepped out in faith and as they believed God. And I heard about one of them, and I asked Robin, would you come up here? I asked Robin if she would come up here and if she would share a testimony of what happened to her last week. So last week, we were talking about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And as you know, if you were here last week, Pastor Roger instructed people to get in groups and pray for one another. So a group of people went back and prayed with you, correct? You were in the back.
Right.
A group of people went in the back and they prayed for you, and you felt like Sheila at that time had a word for you?
Well, we prayed in the back, and then later on I came forward and asked Sheila for prayer. And I told her that I had been struggling. I'm a single parent, and God had really been asking me to step out in faith and tithe and also double my missions pledge. And I was going, no way, I can't do that. So I came forward to her, and I said, you know, I've been struggling with this. Satan's been trying to throw things at me, like, you can't tithe. There's no way you're going to make it. How are you going to pay your bills? All these different things. And the thing he was trying to throw at me then was, well, what are you going to do about your teeth? Because I thought, I was convinced that I had major cavities and work that needed to be done in my mouth. And so when I came forward to Sheila said, well, who told you you have cavities in your mouth? And I said, no one. I just feel like there are. So she had a word for me and said, I believe Satan's trying to convince you that you have cavities in your teeth. And when she prayed, well, and she said, and they're not there. She said, that's my word for you. They're not there.
Which is a word of knowledge.
Right.
Yes.
So the very next day, I was able to get into the dentist through another woman I met, Jessica, and brought out the x-rays, and he says, I'm going to turn your chair around so you can see this with me. And I thought, here it goes. It's going to be awful. No cavities. None.
No cavities. Mm-mm. So you came forward for prayer. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. So you came forward for prayer because you just needed wisdom on what to do. You had decided that you were going to tithe and you were going to step out in faith and believe God. You came forward being convinced that you had these cavities in your mouth and you were going to have to figure out how to pay for it.
Right.
Through a dentist. Right. And Sheila had a word of wisdom, word of knowledge that said, I don't believe you have cavities. Mm-hmm. And then all of that was confirmed when you went to the dentist and they had you turn around and look at the x-rays with them.
Right.
So she came forward, Robin came forward, then last week we talked about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. She came forward believing God for the things that we were talking about, and Sheila, who was praying with her, moved out, trusting God that he was going to use a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, spoke that to you, and then God confirmed that by you going to the dentist.
That's right.
And so you have no cavities.
No cavities.
So God showed up.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand like we really give him a hand. Thank you.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing. God actually started to provide for me before I even had that money to tithe on, because he was asking me to tithe on my school money. I'm a full-time student. I didn't actually get that money until today. So God took me at my word, which is totally humbling, and already began to provide for me before I even had that to give. So.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Robin, thank you. I called Robin and I asked her if she would share that testimony, because when we talk about these things that the Bible says that we should do, we need to trust God that those things are going to happen. Sheila stepped out and she believed God gave her a word of wisdom to share with Robin. She shared it with Robin. God confirmed it. It's the same thing with what we're talking about with the gift of faith. God wants to confirm those things inside of us. It's our responsibility then to do what? To believe it. We either believe that God is going to work this way, the manifestation of his spirit working and moving through our lives, or we're going to deny and reject that. Now, the gift of healing, let me describe this one to you, the gift of healing. The gift of healing is the ability to call on God to heal the sick through supernatural means for the purpose of revealing God. It is a continuation of the compassionate ministry of Jesus. When you read the New Testament, when you read the Gospels, you read the book of Acts, and you read the Acts of the Apostles, and you read all of the things that believers did after Jesus, they prayed for sick people, and they believed for healing, and they saw healings, and they saw miracles. If God has not changed, my question would be this: why are we not seeing them today? We should be seeing them. We should be seeing the supernatural means of God for the purpose of revealing his will through healing people. So in Scripture, in the book of Acts, why were people healed? To deliver the sick and to destroy the works of the enemy. Are there still sick people among us? Yes or no? Yes or no? Are there still the works of the enemy among us? Certainly they are. So if that is true, then the gift of healing is still for today. John chapter 10, to establish the claims of Jesus. Many times Jesus went about healing people to establish his claims. to authorize the gospel message. Jesus healed people to authorize the gospel message. In other words, the authenticity or the authorization of the message of Scripture is we serve a God who heals, and He still heals today. How does He heal today? He heals through His people. We are Christ's ambassadors, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as though God were making His appeal to the world through us. So if God is appealing to the world through us, then He wants to work through us with the gifts of His Spirit. Acts chapter 9, why did God heal people? To turn people to God. God wants to touch people. Now, God can heal. Does God always heal? Listen, these are where the debates are, and these are where the questions are, and these are where the struggles are. Well, I prayed for somebody, and they weren't healed. Well, maybe they weren't healed at that moment. And I'm not trying to play on words here. Here's what I know. If God's word says we should lay hands on sick people and they should be healed, we should lay hands on sick people so they can be healed. Let's not add to or take away from the Scripture. What's my responsibility? To do what God says to do. Would you agree with that? So my responsibility is just to be obedient to God. Look at what Mark chapter 16 says. The last words of Jesus in Mark's gospel. And He told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs, say miraculous signs, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in My name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. These are the words of Jesus. You will lay hands on sick people, and they will be healed. Now, we have to take God's word at face value. In 1998, my wife and I moved to Virginia. I mean, we moved to Fort Collins. We were in Virginia before that. We moved to Fort Collins, and we were pastoring a church in Fort Collins. And I had a lady come up to me who decided she was going to come to the church. And when I met her, I asked her why she decided she was going to come to Faith Bible Chapel, Fort Collins. And here's what she said to me, because I know Faith Bible Chapel in Arvada. Here's what she said to me. She said, in the 60s, she lived in Fort Collins. Her and her husband lived in Fort Collins in the 60s. And she said, in the 60s, we heard about what God was doing at Faith Bible Chapel. And every Thursday night, we would get in a van in Fort Collins, and we would drive from Fort Collins to Arvada, Colorado, to go to the Thursday night services because God was moving. Because God was doing things. And this lady began to tell me about what happened to her when she started coming to Faith Bible Chapel. Her faith was built. Her faith to believe God's word was built. And she told me that one night they were at a Bible study in a home of somebody that was in their small group in Fort Collins. During the Bible study, her husband, Berta's husband, died in the Bible study. He died right there in the Bible study. They'd gotten done with the Bible study. They were in a group, hands held, praying. At the end of the study, the husband fell over and died on the couch. He and Berta and many other people had been coming to Faith Bible Chapel for months, and they had heard about healing. There was a paramedic that was in the room, concluded the man was dead. He had died. He had had a heart attack, and he died. Somebody dared to believe God to pray for a dead man. And they laid hands on that man who was dead. They laid hands on him, and the man came back to life, and he lived for several more years. That happened. It happened in their Bible study, and the reason that they believed, the reason that they prayed, they were driving to Faith Bible Chapel from Fort Collins in the 60s, and they were hearing the Word of God, and they just dared to believe the Word of God. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to believe God's Word. Jesus said, you will place your hands on sick people, and they will be healed. Those are not my words. They're the words of Jesus. We've got to believe that. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that to the point where you're going to pray for people? Today, in the mountains, I got done teaching. And as soon as I got done teaching, a young man walked up to me. He's 20 years old. No, he's 19. He walked up to me and he said, does your knee hurt? And I said, no, it doesn't. He said, I'm sorry. I said, why are you sorry? He said, because I felt like God told me your knee hurt. I said, no, my knee doesn't hurt. And he put his head down and he started to walk away. I said, wait a minute, come here. I said, don't walk away. I said, tell me what's going on. He said, sometimes when I pray for people or when God speaks to my heart to pray for people, I feel a pain in my body. And then he said, wherever I feel the pain in my body, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for somebody. And he said, I had this pain in my knee and I felt like somebody's knee was hurting. And so he said, I asked you if your knee was hurting. I said, no, my knee wasn't hurting. But I said, here's what I know. Somebody's knee needs prayer in this group. Somebody's knee needs prayer. He said, God's done this in my life before. But as soon as he asked me if it was my knee and I said no, I saw his head go down. It was almost like he blew it. It was almost like in his own mind he thought, oh man, I don't know. I don't hear from God. I don't know what to do. And he dropped his head and I said, no, you come back here. I said, if you felt that and God spoke that, then I said, I want you to go to every single person in this school until you find the person whose knee hurts and you lay hands on that knee and you pray for them. And he said, okay. And his head came up and he was like a different person. And then he put his hand out like that and he said, do you see that ring? I said, yes. He said, you taught on the prodigal today. And he said, I was drug addicted. And he said, my father kicked me out of the house. I was smoking and selling weed. And he said, my father kicked me out of the house. And he said, I came to my senses. And I came back. And he said, as soon as I walked in to my father's house, my father said, give me your hand. And he put his hand out and the father slid a ring on his finger, just like with the prodigal. Slid a ring on his finger and said, Your home, son, just like that. Just like in the story of the prodigal. 2 weeks later, this kid is up in the mountains and he's daring to believe God that he heard from God to pray for somebody that has a hurt knee. We need to be doing that. We need to be believing God. Listen, let's quit being so callous by what the world says and forget it if you don't do it right the first time. Let's say you come up to me and say, Blake, does your knee hurt? And I say, no. Don't walk away with your head hanging down. Somebody's knee hurts. Just figure out whose knee hurts and pray for them. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? I'm going to tell you, no, my knee doesn't hurt. That's okay. Somebody's knee hurts. Here's the point. The point is, Jesus said, we'll lay hands on people, sick people, and they'll be healed. I know that some of you in here know that God has told you to pray for people. You've just known it. You've known in your heart that God has told you to pray for people, but you've wondered, do I really pray for somebody? What if I go up and pray for them and nothing happens? Or what if I do it and they look at me goofy? Forget that. Let's just do what Jesus said. Can we agree on that? Jesus said, you're going to place your hands on sick people and they're going to be healed. The gift of healing is the ability to call on God to heal the sick through supernatural means for what? The purpose of revealing God. It isn't about you. And it isn't about me. It's for the purpose of revealing God. What would that look like if we were operating in the manifestation gifts of the Spirit? And I had the gift of faith, and I came up and I believed with you for something that can't be done in the natural. Or you're praying for somebody that needs healing, emotional, physical, spiritual healing. Here's the amazing thing about the book of Acts. And you don't need to turn there, but here's what I love about verse 13. Chapter 4 and verse 13, of course, the religious people are all freaking out because Peter and John, who are these guys? Who do they think they are? When they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized this, they were unschooled, ordinary men. Peter and John were not religious professionals. They were unschooled, ordinary men who said to that blind man, that crippled man, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus, faith, get up, healing, you're healed, miracle. All that beautiful, why? Ordinary, unschooled people. God is not looking for professional clergy. He's looking for ordinary, unschooled people who will trust him and believe him at his word, plus nothing. We don't have to add or subtract from it, just plus nothing. Are you with me? Say, I'm with you. Okay, the gift of miracles. Here we go. The gift of miracles, those things which override or contradict laws of nature. That's a miracle. A miracle is something that overrides or contradicts the laws of nature. It is the sovereign act of the Spirit of God, irrespective of laws or systems. Miracles. God wants to do miracles today. I have experienced miracles in my life. I had one happen to me when I was 6 months old as a Christian. I had God pick up the car that we were in Littleton, Colorado. I had God pick up the car. and move that car from Littleton, Colorado, all the way to Arvada, Colorado, with no time elapsed on the clock. I'm telling you, that happened to me. And it happened with another man in the car. It was a miracle of God. We were living in Arvada, Colorado. We were working in Littleton. We had to leave the job at a certain time. And we knew we had to leave the job at a certain time. We lived at the student residence. And we were the ones that were responsible for setting everything up when there were banquets. It was Valentine's Day, 1982. And we had to leave the job so that we could get home. We knew we had to leave at 4 so we could get home at 4:30. The boss said to us, "You have to clean up a house before you can leave." So the man I was with, he and I just went at it. We got the job all cleaned up. The guy that we were working with left the job at 4 o'clock. He left a half an hour before us. We got finished at 4:30. We sat down in his car. He was driving. I was in his car. And one of us said we should pray. I don't remember who. One of us said we should pray. And we prayed, and we said something like, "God, help us catch all the lights and get us home quickly." All those kinds of things that we pray when we're wanting to get home fast or we're wanting a parking spot. And I can't remember. Here's what I remember. I remember two things very clearly. I looked at my watch, and it was 4:30 when we were at the job site. I looked at my watch, and it was 4:30. I remember we prayed. I don't remember if we closed our eyes or opened our eyes. We prayed when I realized what had happened. His car, Paul's car, was sitting in the parking lot at the student residence where we lived, and it was 4:30. It was 30 minutes away from where we lived. No time had elapsed, and our car was sitting in that parking lot. The guy that had left a half an hour before us pulled into the parking lot right after us. We didn't start the car. We didn't turn the car on. We didn't drive the car. The car was ice cold. God picked that car up, and he moved it for some reason. It was a miracle of God. I remember I could tell you stories all day long about the miracles of God. And why? It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with God and his word. So the gift of miracles was used for divine deliverance. In Exodus chapter 14, the gift of miracles was used to provide for those in want or need. God provided miracles. The gift of miracles was to carry out the judgment and discipline. Gift of miracles was used to confirm the word that was preached. The gift of miracles was to deliver people from danger or the unavoidable. How many of those things need to happen? There are people in want or need that need a miracle today. There are people that need the word of God confirmed in their lives. There's nothing like a miracle to confirm the word of God. To display God's power, those things need to be done. Those things need to be seen today. And we can either choose to believe it or we can choose to say, "I'm just not sure. I haven't seen it in my lifetime. I haven't really walked in that." Or we can choose to say, "You know what? I'm going to believe you, God. I'm going to dare to believe you." We were talking today about social injustice. And we were talking about the injustices of the world. I think one of the hidden injustices of Christianity today is the injustice of not believing God for who and what he says he is. That's an injustice. It is an injustice not to believe that God says the manifestation gifts are given as the Holy Spirit desires. And they are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, interpretation of tongues, signs, wonders, miracles, faith. Those are gifts. What do you have to do when you get a gift? You first receive it, and then what? You have to open it up. When somebody gives you a gift or somebody gives me a gift, I have to open it up to see what it is. That's what God wants us to do with the manifestation gifts. Open them up and see what they are. See what they are. Let me read this scripture to you and then we're going to close. First miracle Jesus ever performed, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone jars of water, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then they told him, "Now draw out some, take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink." but you have saved the best until now. This is the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples, what? Put their faith in him. So often the miracles flow to build our faith. So often faith flows so miracles can be ushered in. These are things that God wants to do. We could spend a whole night talking about each gift. We could do that. But here's what I want to challenge us to do. And I'm going to ask Brandon to come back up and the worship team to come back out. And here's what I want to say to us as we close. My first challenge is going to be this. Study God's word about the things that we're talking about. What does God's word say about the gift of faith? What does God's word say about the gift of healing? What does God's word say about the gift of miracles? Study that out, because as you study that out, your faith will grow and your faith will develop. So, I'm going to close by doing this, but before I do this, let me tell you what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to do a couple things. First of all, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that he wants to speak and that he does speak. Be mindful of how the Holy Spirit speaks. That young man that came up to me today said he had this picture because he had this pain in his knee. And he had this pain in his knee because he's learned from listening to the Holy Spirit that that's how God tells him what to pray for. So he had a pain in his knee, and because of that sensitivity, he knew somebody needed prayer. Also this, and we're talking about faith, healing, and miracles. Sometimes God tells you to do something and he doesn't give you the whole picture. Sometimes God will tell you to pray and he won't say the whole thing. Sometimes God will just give you a word. God will say, pray. God will say, trust. And then what you do as you step out and as you begin to believe God, then God will begin to expand on that. When Robin came down here for prayer last week and Sheila prayed for her, as they were interacting and she was praying, God began to speak to Sheila that you don't have cavities. And she began to speak, but it was as that interaction was happening.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.